conversations and fun you won't find anywhere else.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. More rain is in the forecast for Vermont. This as they're now assessing the damage from the torrential rains that battered the Northeast for 48 hours. Stephen Pappas, executive editor of the Rutland Herald, says residents are concerned.
Until work crews can get the roadways where they need to be and sound, and inspections can be done on highways and bridges and other infrastructure, there's still a great risk.
President Biden has authorized the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA to coordinate disaster relief efforts. Emergency rooms are being put to the test as a heat dome lingers over the Southwest. Almost 120 degrees is in the forecast for Phoenix, Arizona later this week. KPHO-TV's Casey Torres.
Doctors at Chandler Regional Medical and Valleywise Health say the heat wave is sending more people to ERs in the valley.
We've definitely seen an increased number of heat exhaustion or heat stroke.
About, you know, give or take, 20% of people that have come in have had some sort of heat-related illness.
Once temps reach 90 degrees or higher, ER rooms are prepared to cool patients walking in serious condition fast.
With the use of ice, with the use of powerful fans, with the use of IV fluids that are cold, with the use of air that's cold.
President Biden is set to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on the sidelines of the NATO summit in Lithuania. It follows Mr. Biden's comments that Ukraine's membership in NATO should not be discussed until after the war. CBS's Nancy Cordes is in Vilnius.
President Zelensky has some concerns about this new announcement by NATO leaders that his country will be part of NATO someday, but the announcement doesn't put any kind of timeline on it. It simply says that Ukraine is going to have to meet some requirements for democratic reforms, for security reforms.
North Korea conducts its first missile test in about a month, according to South Korea's military. Reporter Alex Jensen has more from Seoul.
After a relatively long period of close to a month without any missile activity, North Korea's latest ballistic missile test comes after it threatened the United States with a shocking response to its recent alleged spy plane activities over nearby waters.
Investigators in Pennsylvania are upping the reward money as the search for an escaped inmate intensifies. Michael Burham fled the Warren jail by using bed sheets thrown out a window. Pennsylvania State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
We have had a number of sightings reported. None of those has panned out.
A judge rules Microsoft can move ahead with a record $69 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like
sometimes
my daughter.
I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
that. I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time? I saw it go. 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
I saw it go. Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What's your confidence in higher education these days? Has it gone down over the last couple of years? Is it high? Is it worth it? I ask because Americans' confidence in higher education is down sharply. 36% have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in higher education, but confidence is down from 48% in 2018 and 57% in 2015. And so I'm just interested as far as has your opinions of whether you have, whether you went to college, whether you went to some college, or not, has your opinion of it changed over time? 844-967-2789. Because I feel like I very much attribute my career to having gone to college and the education I got. And I also don't know if the economic deal you're getting right now is worth it. And I feel like the stats are out, or like they're not conclusive right now on whether or not it's worth it. So I'd love to hear from you on whether or not you think it's still a good deal. Is going to college still the right economic move? Not for everyone, but overall, does it seem worth it? And do you have confidence that it is the best investment? 844-967-2789. Jane Van Ayer, what do you think?
You know, it's hard because it's just so astronomically expensive now. It's just hard to wrap my brain around. So for the year and a half that I went to the University of Minnesota, and I'm not going to remember this correctly, but it certainly wasn't even $5,000.
Yeah.
And now to walk out of an institution with $80,000 worth of debt or $120,000, it blows my mind. It just blows my mind. And I don't understand that enormous increase in 30 years of
like
tuition, how tuition has just gone kapow. It's incredible.
Well, I think it's so much has to do with the fact of the money that was available through loans to create demand. You know what I mean? And so it's like by allowing, you know, by shifting the burden of who got the loans, was it the institutions or was it the students? And so instead of making it for the institutions, you could take out, you know, like, you know, and I don't know exactly know how it would have worked, but like by supplementing demand and putting no caps on what the price needed to be, it's gotten so out of control. But like most studies still say your ability to make more money is still through going to college. And so it's more of like a feeling now that more and more people are like, is it worth it? And like, I think maybe depending on what you're going to do with that degree, but also education is a state of mind and it is a value versus just, you know, the economic output of, does this get me a job? And so I'm just interested in your confidence in the institution of higher education. 844-967-2789. Because in this new Gallup poll, all major demographic groups led by Republicans are less confident in higher education than they were a few years ago. And in 2015, majorities of Americans in all key subgroups expressed confidence in higher education, with one exception, independents. By 2018, confidence had fallen across all groups, with the largest drops 17 points among Republicans. But it's not just Republicans. Confidence among adults without a college degree and those aged 55 and older dropped nearly as much as Republicans in 2018. And so there's only one key subgroup with majority level confidence in higher education, which is Democrats.
There you go.
Which is also interesting. It's like, why is that the case? This is not to say that the value of what you can learn when you're at college isn't there. And I think there's also a huge argument for getting out of your comfort zone and everything that else that college can do for you. Like I was talking to, we have someone who has graduated high school recently who is not, he and all of his friends are not going to college.
Oh, really? None of them.
They're either joining trades or they've started their own small business. And I think that makes sense. One thing I'm a little worried about is the fact that they're all still living at home and I'm not worried. They're not my kids, but you know what I mean? As far as the ability of what college does to get you out of your parents' house, to get like the training wheels on for being an adult,
living on your own,
to meet new people and kind of the exposure of doing things instead of, you know, potentially just always staying where you're from. Now that's something that you could argue with me on, but like, I am a big advocate of like, go do other things. You can always come back.
Go away.
But go do other things. And so, but I don't know, has there been a shift for you as far as, especially in, I think what is wrapped up in the student loan crisis, has there been a shift for you in how confident you are in our higher ed, like education institutions? 844-967-2789. And I don't know, like, I don't know if it's just tied into student loans. And I think it has to be. Like, I think if you take out the expense of this and how much it cripples people without guaranteeing the promise of raising your status in life and getting a better job, because I think there's also how, you know, I think a lot of, because some of it's also a culture shift for what is necessary to get the jobs that you want. And I think if that started to actually change and employers started to realize or started to shift on how often they're looking for a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, or like that piece of paper to say that you can do this job. Because I think right now that there's still a fair amount of people who do say that, which may or may not be true. I don't know. Like, I think there's a litmus test as far as being able to finish something. I think like when you think about GPAs and resumes, like at least when I was hiring for sales jobs and looking at people's GPAs, or combined with what work they did, what extracurriculars they did, what are they interested in, what is their work ethic, is their ability to like finish things that they start, and like a skill set that is like displayed over a resume versus just a GPA. But like, it does show that, like, if you have a high GPA, it shows that you can, like, study and work hard, I think, but maybe other people will disagree with me.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Is it worth it to go to college? Are you still confident in kids going for a college education?
Because I'm trying to think, as like, you know, this is a long time from now, but the encouragement of like, what, how different is it going to be when my kid is graduating high school? Of, will it just be a completely different culture and how we are, you know, how we're approaching school in general, how we're approaching colleges, how we're encouraging? Because like, as of today, if I had a high school student, I feel like I would encourage them to take a year off and then still go to college though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't force them. I wouldn't be like guilt them into it, but I'd just be like, listen, like, I think that there's an argument and there's a cheaper way to do it. You can start at community college. You can go to state schools. But at least today I would say I still subscribe to there's lots of benefits to it, but maybe don't take out 80 grand to study English.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say?
Well, first of all, the Republicans have consistently cut the state and national supports, I guess I'd call them, for university education. When my son graduated from one of the UW schools, not Madison, but from one of the system schools, the total cost of his education just for the college alone was about $50,000. Even working full time, I can see how somebody could easily graduate with $30,000-$40,000 in debt. If they work full time during the summer and part time in school, that shouldn't happen. When Bernie Sanders ran for president, he put forth a program where he said for about $40 billion, we could have college for all who qualified. In other words, who had reasonable grades and wanted to pursue a higher education. The Republicans, again, would scream, oh, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. But in fact, in the last so-called budget, they added over $40 billion to the defense budget alone, and that was money that the Pentagon didn't even ask for. So the money's there. All we have to do is support our students, which is why it is, to me, so just horrendous that you can't even forgive $10,000 in college debt, much less, you know, $40,000 or $50,000. That we really should be supporting our students with.
So but we can afford to forgive PPP loans. Don't forget that. Thanks for the call, Jack. We got to take our first break, but when we come back, we will keep the conversation going. I actually found an interesting TikTok that kind of critiques it pretty harshly and makes some strong arguments. So we'll play that when we return. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
So useless. So useless. Well, you're trading your mortar for a broom and a dustpan, baby. You got a useless college degree. I got a useless college degree. I got a useless college degree. Yeah. Well, I had to join a rock and roll band, baby.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered showers out there will be coming to an end in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies and light east winds developing. 60 degrees by daybreak. On Wednesday, we'll see some morning showers around and then some showers and storms in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, up to 77.
It's 66 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Oh. Welcome back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 at WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. Civic Media's voice to the state. And here we are out of Waukesha. And we are honored to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff, former assembly person from the 19th District, currently a member of the Common Council representing District 3 in the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about the budget and shared revenue and how that all played out. And we were just before the break talking about the initial proposal by the governor and his tax breaks focused on the middle class with some real, real focus on some super benefits to folks. So, Jonathan, in response, what did I call him King Voss? What did King Voss and company do?
Well, they decided to basically blow a bunch of the extra money the state had on targeting the extremely, or the, I'd say the very wealthy to the extremely wealthy, and just funneling a ton of money into a relatively few amount of hands, where the average Wisconsinite would have seen basically no difference. But if you're making, you know, half a million, you know, you see a little bit more. But if you're making millions, you'd see a huge difference. And that was their kind of take on it. And sorry, I've got my little ones that are somehow must have escaped their room. They're supposed to be getting ready for bedtime right now. But I'm sorry if you can hear that.
We can't hear anything and we can't see anything. So just
okay.
That's just
I got my screen up.
So that's all right. We can hear some happy children chatter in the
back. Yeah.
That's all right. But let's talk about sort of this attack by the far right Republicans and how they really tried to go after the concept of local control and divide and conquer the city from the greater state. How did you see that playing out?
Well, unfortunately, it's been going on for a while, and they've really perfected it at this point, because they have nearly a two-thirds majority in both chambers. So they have basically, you know, they used to be, the Republicans in Wisconsin historically have been known, at least, as the party of local control. And nationally, that's a big thing, is, you know, they just want federal government out of the way. They want the locals to decide. They want state government out of the way. They want the municipal and local government to decide. But it couldn't be further from the truth as far as, you know, these last 10 years or so. Most recently, one of the big things they've been doing is, again, pushing this you know, whatever the flavor of the week for their national outrage machine is, whether it's, you know, critical race theory or DEI or any of that stuff. So this last iteration is they basically said Milwaukee can get access to the life-saving critical money that it needs, which partially we need because the state has been starving us out and stepping on our throat for so many years. But nonetheless, the money that we need, but they're going to attach a bunch of poison pills to the package that our policy, no matter what we do with the money. So if we get the money, it's policy. If we don't, it's policy. And an example of that is hiring a bunch of new police and fire, or specifically police, you know, removing the ability to use tax dollars for to use those dollars generated that way for things like the HOP, you know, trying to take away our ability to have DEI and Office of Equity policies. The one of the most powerful civilian oversight bodies for police and fire in the country is housed in Wisconsin through the FPC, the Fire and Police Commission here in Milwaukee, and removing basically a lot of the policymaking from that body, as well as authority over the chief, over the decisions of hiring. So those were examples. But again, basically, they have wanted all these kind of wish lists of things. And so they jammed it in this year because they knew that they had some leverage over the governor, whereas normally he would just veto it.
So, you know, you touched on a bunch of different issues, poison pills. I don't know if a lot of people, especially if you're not living in the city, really understand the full import of some of that.
Sure. But
you had mentioned, you know, mandating hiring police, but it was also specifically a putting police officers in schools,
right?
After the school board had said that we don't really need it, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, 25, what's known as SROs or school resource officers, which are putting 25 cops in schools, which is in direct response to the local government making a decision about this and saying they don't want this anymore. And in direct conflict with that, the state came in, intervened, and took over and removed that opportunity for local decision making from elected officials.
You know, in your capacity, what did you see from other municipalities around the state when this piece of legislation really attacks Milwaukee in particular? Did you hear anything from other folks that you may have known?
There was some solidarity in certain regards with the League of Municipalities. There was a little bit, but overall, everyone, I think, felt that they were so over a barrel because they were getting a 20%, at least 20% increase in shared revenue that they basically didn't raise a big fuss over it. And they kind of felt that they had to publicly support it. So I think there was that sentiment, but they just have been starved of resources for so long that they felt they needed the shared revenue above all else.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, giving us the inside scoop on how this budget process is playing out. Come on back and hear more details. Again, this is your Paul Revere Show.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. More torrential rain is coming in Vermont. Stephen Pappas with the Rutland Herald.
With the water table so high, there's nowhere for that water to go except down the same paths that it has gone thus far.
The storm has already dumped 2 months of rain in just 2 days. With a big chunk of the country still dealing with excessive heat, Jules Marin with the Austin Wildlife Rescue says it's dangerous for animals, too.
What we do is challenging on any day, and then add in 100 degrees and hotter, and it just multiplies by 10.
At the NATO summit in Lithuania, President Biden is set to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. CBS's Nancy Cordes on what the conversation will focus on.
They will undoubtedly talk about Ukraine's counteroffensive, where it's working, where it isn't, and of course, what kinds of artillery, what kinds of weaponry Ukraine needs that it isn't getting right now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things,
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Matt Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. I'm going to get back to the segment I started before the break. Do you remember that the Republicans in one of their committees said, we have a whistleblower. He's very, very reliable. James Comey, their chairman, back in May said, we can't find him right now. Remember, we laughed about that. But here's what Comey said. Quote, we're hopeful that we can find the informant. Remember, these informants are kind of in the spy business, so they don't make a habit of being seen a lot or being high profile or anything like that. Now, that was back in May. And according to Comey, because he heard it from somebody else, this informant claimed that the Bidens got money from China, that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden got money from China. That is a lie. By the way, before we go further with this segment, what Hunter Biden pled to was buying a gun when he was a drug addict, and on the form he should have said that. It's a misdemeanor. And then on taxes, a couple of hundred grand that he paid late. Roger Stone paid a couple of million late, and that was a civil enforcement. But because this is the president's son, they got him on a misdemeanor there too. That's fine. But it wasn't this business of money from China. This idiot, who is the whistleblower, apparently his name was Gal Luft, L-U-F-T. He has been indicted on 8 counts, felonies, in the Southern District of New York federal court. And here's what the U.S. attorney said, quote, Mr. Luft subverted foreign agent registration laws in the U.S. to promote Chinese policies. He brokered deals for dangerous weapons and Iranian oil. He lied to law enforcement. He was arrested in Cyprus when he was out on bail. He ran and he's on the lam. He's a fugitive. Part of these felonies are that he brokered arms shipments to Kenya and to the United Arab Emirates in violation of U.S. law. This is the guy that Comey said that, or Comer, I should say, said was a reliable informant. One of the things that's unbelievable, and I want to develop this, Nancy Mace, now she's a Republican, a woman from South Carolina, who was a little wobbly on the election fraud thing, a little wobbly on it from their point of view. Wasn't clear that there was election fraud, and she almost didn't win re-election. Now she's being sort of like this woman from upstate New York, the number 3 in the House, who suddenly is a convert to Trump. Here's what she said. She said that this informant, Luft, is, quote, being silenced by the Department of Justice. Hey, Nancy, he's saying the guy didn't run guns to Kenya and the United Arab Emirates. You say that he didn't broker Iranian oil. You say he didn't lie to law enforcement. You didn't say that he is representing China without registering. And so they recruit him to say that Biden did something wrong. And he's the clown they're protecting. He's arrested in Cyprus. We have an extradition treaty. They give him bail. Why do they give a guy like this bail? They give him bail. He disappears. This is what is going on in the Republican Party. And let me tell you something. What Gina Beauclair said, that this is not the Republican Party you remember from before. It certainly isn't the one that I remember from before. The other day, John Kelly, he was a 4-star Marine general, and he was Trump's chief of staff. He's as honest as the day is long. He's a 4-star general. And he testified that he heard Trump discuss that he wanted the IRS to investigate people who were investigating him. And he wanted them to investigate people in the FBI. As a result, you may remember this, Christopher Wray and a U.S. attorney, and I think Comey, suddenly got audited. And then Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, 2 FBI agents who'd been investigating him, were investigated by the IRS. He unleashed the IRS on. This is what Nixon did, by the way, back before he was impeached. This is the Republican Party, and you have Nancy Mace, who used to be a moderate, saying that this Gal Luft, the arms runner and the Iranian oil runner and the China representer, is being, what, silenced? Because he's arrested for felonies? Are you kidding me? Then you have this business of the Saudi takeover of our Gulf. LIV, L-I-V, which is the Saudi operation, has paid tens of millions of dollars to golfers. Now remember something, their oil revenues are such that the Crown Prince buys a $500 million yacht. He paid $100 million for a painting of an artist I never heard of. We're not talking Picasso. You know, we're not talking Michelangelo or something. Some guy I never heard of. This guy, all of the Saudi Arabian people get subsidized by the oil. They have so much of it. He can do whatever he wants. Well, he's trying to clean up his image because he's a murderer and a thief and a torturer. And so what, when they used the chainsaws on Jamal Khashoggi, by the way, the allegation is he was still alive when they started to use the chainsaws on him. The fact is that the Saudis were in on 9/11 that killed almost 3,000 people. Their consuls in a few cities were in touch with the people in the planes. Their pilots, whom we trained in Florida 5 years ago, shot people with pistols, killed them. Our sailors in classes where they're being trained to fly a plane. We should not admit any of them into this country. They're waging jihad against Europe, releasing Wahhabi terrorists in Europe. And they had a great thought. They said, well, we'll offer Tiger Woods $100 million. Well, God bless Tiger Woods. He turned it down. $100 million. But Patrick Harrington from Ireland suddenly is representing them. And this other fellow, Bryson DeChambeau, is saying, well, to the 9/11 victims, well, get over it. People do bad things. This is what the guy says. If you give, I don't know how much they gave these guys. They didn't give them $100 million. But if they give guys like that $20 million, $30 million, $10 million, they buy them. They can buy the biggest names. Greg Norman is the head of the Saudi operation right now. But once the merger is complete, the head guy of the PGA Tour, it'll be called the Saudi PGA Tour, the head guy will be called Yasser Ramaswamy or something. You know, if they really wanted to, guys that make even less money are a lot of NFL players. The linemen in the NFL, some of them don't make $1 million a year. But maybe somebody else makes $1 million, $2 million, okay. All they got to do is come into the teams and the top five players offer them $20 million bucks and say they want it to be the Saudi NFL. This is all being legitimized and it's being brokered by the Republican Party. You must understand that. Donald Trump has these golf courses and the Saudi Arabia today just announced that they're moving their golf team to be home ported, so to speak, in one of Trump's courses. Ron Johnson, our senator, not my senator, but unfortunately he represents Wisconsin, just got reelected to 6 years. Congratulations to any of you who voted for him. Disgusting. Not only supports Tommy Tuberville and not promoting our flag officers simply to injure the Democrats and get Trump back in there, but he also is the head of a subcommittee in the Senate. And one of their committees today is having a hearing in the Senate on whether or not to block the Saudi Arabian takeover of American golf and making it the Saudi PGA. Or the Jihad Tour. Might as well call it the Jihad Tour. What's going on here? And what he said was, Johnson's a master at twisting the words. He goes, I want to ensure the purity of golf. Well, hey, I got an idea. Don't let them take it over. You have the right to not let them take it over. It's a violation of our antitrust laws, and I don't want to get into all the legalities of it, but it is. You can't be telling me you want Trump back in the presidency, you want to not promote our admirals and generals, and you're also the guy that went over on 4th of July about 5 years ago and hung out with Russians on 4th of July, the autocrats who'd 4 years earlier invaded Ukraine. Crimea had been part of Ukraine in 2014 and are yucking it up with them. You're not on our side, Ron. You're not representing America. You're not representing America. You're not going to have purity in golf. With Saudi Arabia running it, they take a chainsaw to a guy who's still alive. They shoot our sailors in class. They did 9/11. They did 9/11. And you're saying you want to keep it pure, but you said it was inevitable. No, it's not inevitable. If we had a strong senator in there, you had fighting Bob LaFalla in there. You had Bill Proxmire in there. It would not be inevitable. So the analogy that I draw to all this, and think back to before the fall of the Berlin Wall, when East Germany was occupied by Russia, the Ruskies. They knew that having Russians walking around Berlin and walking around East Germany wouldn't go over well. So they recruited a group called the Stasi, the East German Communist Party, STASI. They were German. They looked like Germans because they were German, and they spoke real well because they were Germans. They simply stabbed their own country is what they did. They'd arrest people if the Russians told them to. They had Stasi police headquarters. They'd have a Russian commandant say who he wanted arrested, who he wanted tortured, who he wanted deported back to Russia to be even treated worse. And they would do it. The Republican Party right now in Wisconsin and in America is an American Stasi. Ron Johnson, Robin Voss, all of these people are simply obedient to Trump and to foreign powers that Trump is promoting, specifically Russia and Saudi Arabia. And I don't want to repeat myself, but when Saudi Arabia gives $2 billion to Trump's son-in-law to, quote, invest, end quote, they don't give a rat's patoot how we invest it. Do you know that when you have money like that, the investor gets 2% even if he loses? 2% of $2 billion is $40 million a year. Jared Kushner is going to get $40 million a year for doing nothing. He doesn't even have to win. He can hire other managers. And then if he exceeds the S&P 500 for a year, he'll get another point or 1.5% over that. This is what's going on right under our nose. And Trump right now is the front runner for the Republican nomination, even though he's a criminal. Even though he's been indicted in New York, he's been indicted in Florida. I think he's about to be indicted in Washington, D.C. for the insurrection. Those of you out there who are Republicans or independents leaning Republican or in some way dissatisfied, even though, by the way, the polls show that the cohort that doesn't want Trump or Biden, and there are a bunch of people that don't want Trump or Biden, Biden wins those 2-1. In other words, if that's what people got to vote for, they're going to go with Biden. I think he's in good shape. However, at long last, I know you have a sorry crew. DeSantis, Pence, these are sorry SOBs. They really are. Then write somebody in. Find a candidate, but you cannot vote for somebody who's betraying us to Russia and to Saudi Arabia. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back up.
Burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast! There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered showers out there will be coming to an end in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies and light east winds developing. 60 degrees by daybreak. On Wednesday, we'll see some morning showers around and then some showers and storms in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, up to 77.
It's 66 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you, people whom I really admire, are the women serving in the military in the Ukraine army right now. There are 60,000 women serving in the Ukraine army right now against the Russians. Russian invasion, they call it a war. It's not a war, it's a genocide. 60,000 of them, many of them in combat. And let me tell you a couple of the logistical challenges they face. Every Ukrainian soldier wears a bulletproof, shrapnel-proof vest that weighs 30 pounds. Now you may think, well, okay, go into a supermarket, pick up a gallon of milk. A gallon of milk weighs 8 pounds. 30 pounds is almost 4 gallons of it, just a couple of pounds shy of four gallons. Imagine if you were hanging 2 gallons of milk around your neck in the front and 2 gallons of milk around your neck in the back in some kind of jacket. And then you had to run with a rifle being shot at through a forest. I've seen some of these women interviewed. They're magnificent. They really are magnificent. Not only that, the Ukrainian army is very frugal. And so in our army, Navy, you have customized pants, shoes, that kind of thing for men and women. In the Ukrainian army, they only have men's pants and shoes, and these women have to go in and pick something about as close as possible to what works for them. There are absolutely no latrine facilities being built for them in combat areas. And I have nothing but praise for those women serving in the Ukrainian army. They are true, true heroes. A couple of other updates on the Ukraine, the genocidal invasion by Russia. There was an interview with an American general, and I'm not sure he's right, but here's what he said, and he may be right. They asked him, what about this guy Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner group? Apparently he went to St. Petersburg, and he met with Putin, and everything's copacetic, and Putin needs Prigozhin and all that. Our general said, I think that's a lot of baloney. You're never going to see Prigozhin again. It's possible he's dead or in prison. That was a contrived announcement of that meeting. Now, he may be wrong. You know, tomorrow we may see Prigozhin there, but the Kremlin immediately circulated derisive pictures of Prigozhin the other day, showing him with fake costumes, beards, fake beards, pretending to be somebody in the Sudan, somewhere else. And they're really kind of humorous, but it was derisive. And you wouldn't do that to somebody who you thought was an ally or that you needed him, number one. Number two, it is very, very hard to see that somehow once Prigozhin backed down, Putin didn't find a way to kill him, throw him out a window, strangle him, poison him, shoot him. So we'll stand by and see. But Putin is in a real bind right now because France, which had long been reticent to get too involved in this thing, just announced yesterday that they're going to send them their own long-range missiles. Britain's already done it, and we are about to do it. Our long-range HIMARS, about 190 miles, are the best. Ukraine is the size, roughly the size of Texas. That's a very, very big country for over there. Obviously, the biggest is Russia. Russia is the biggest landmass country in the world. Spans 11 time zones, and it only has 145 million people. But a Texas-sized country is a big country over there. And it's absurd that we give them HIMARS that only go 30 or 50 miles. 190 miles, the British go a couple of hundred miles, the French will too. That gives the Ukrainians the ability and the capability of attacking the Ruskies in their rear line. So I was very, very glad to see that, that France is doing that. By the way, the other good news at this NATO summit is that Turkey has finally agreed to let Sweden and NATO, you know, they have a procedure in NATO where it has to be unanimous. You bring a new country in, has to be unanimous. Well, getting unanimity in anything is almost impossible. But in this particular case, Turkey finally backed down. I'm afraid, and we're going to talk about this in a different segment, I'm afraid about what they were offered because I don't trust Turkey. But the fact of the matter is that Sweden will not now come in. I think Hungary, which is the other holdout, is not going to be able to hold them off. And Sweden, then you have Sweden up there in the north. You have Lithuania on Russia's other flank. These are huge, huge additions. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Miami. Wisco Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. I just wanted to mention the Russians have lost 50,000 troops in that war, and they don't even know. It could be more than that. So to me, that's an amazing thing. I don't know how many troops we lost in Iraq or the Gulf War or Vietnam, but that's an amazing amount of soldiers to lose in a war that you should have won,
right,
or thought they were going to win in like a week or two. So I can't see Putin being able to hang on with them kind of. That's devastating. Okay, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, you're right on the money. And here's the deal. I saw the 50,000 figure, and I saw the figure of 200 some odd thousand casualties. A casualty is either dead or wounded. But one of the problems for the Russians is that they have a failure rate. If somebody's wounded, they die 50% of the times because they can't get them the right first aid. The general that gave the interview said ours is about 98%. Unless you have a fatal wound, we're going to get you in combat to a staging area where you're going to get care. The Russians don't care. In some cases, as they were retreating, they'd say to a guy lying on the ground, can you walk? The guy would say no. They'd shoot him. They'd kill their own guy. These guys don't care, and they're totally demoralized. And I agree with you that Putin, at some point, when you're a guy like that, you don't get to retire and say, oh, well, I made a mistake. You only go out in a coffin, and there are a lot of people over there, other oligarchs, who are circling around. One is action, one is steal, his money, and he's not long for this world, and I think that's a general consensus. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Stand by for another great show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. You won't want to miss it. Matt Flynn Direct, back same time, same place tomorrow. Plenty more to talk about. I'm signing off for today.
Got to be good looking, cause he's so hard to see. Come together right now. All the me.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.